Welcome to StrangeNotions.com, where today I'm excited to interview one of our own contributors, Jennifer Fulweiler. Jennifer is a blogger at ConversionDiary.com, and she's also the author of a brand new memoir that just came out this week. It's titled Something Other Than God: How I Passionately Sought Happiness and Accidentally Found It. Jennifer was born and raised as an atheist, raised by a skeptical father, encouraged to question everything and most of all religion, and she remained a non-believer for most of her upbringing. But then as a young adult, she met her husband, Joe, who was a Christian, began reading several different theistic books and interacting with Christians online, and over time became convinced not only that God exists, but that he established the Catholic Church. And in Easter 2007, Jennifer became Catholic. Today, though, we're going to be talking about her journey, but especially her new book, Something Other Than God. And before we begin, I want to welcome you, Jennifer. Thanks for taking the time to chat.
Thanks. It's a pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Now, you've shared your story in several places before, but many times people accuse you of not really have been a real atheist, you know, that, you say you converted from atheism to Catholicism, but you were never a true atheist. You really didn't embrace that. Can you talk a little bit about your upbringing and your sort of secularist worldview?
Right. I'm pretty sure I was an atheist when I was growing up because I was... It's almost like I was wired for it because I remember even as a young child, it seemed so clear to me that it's not only nonsensical, but dangerous to believe in things that you cannot evaluate, that you cannot find some sort of proof or evidence for. And having grown up in the Bible Belt, obviously I knew a lot of believers and I saw all these examples of people basically just kind of doing what they wanted to do, but giving it the divine stamp of approval by saying like, oh, Jesus told me to do it. And I thought, this is such nonsense. You know, this is like what, and this is what happens when you believe in something for which there's no proof. You just start like making things up and saying it's from God. And so I was a true atheist materialist in the sense that, I believe that the physical world around us that we can, you know, touch and observe is all there is. There is absolutely nothing else. I didn't believe in spirits or, you know, like, but I live in Austin, so it's popular to be like spiritual, but not religious. And, you know, there's like earth goddesses or whatever that I was not like that. I believed in nothing except for the material universe.
In the book, you recount your slow, gradual, and often undesired process of conversion over many pages, but what would you say was one of the very first chinks in your atheist armor? One of the very first things that drew you to at least explore Christianity?
You know, there were a few, but to choose one, I would say I met my husband who he grew up poor and he ended up going to Yale undergrad, graduating in 3 years with honors, Columbia Law School, Stanford Business School. He did most of the coursework towards a master's in artificial intelligence in Stanford's computer science program, the graduate school, which is not easy. And so when I met him, he was kind of a lapsed Christian, a lukewarm believer. And I began to meet all of these friends of his who also had more letters after their name than in their name from these, you know, incredibly prestigious schools. And these were the most reasonable and intelligent people I had ever encountered. And yet most of them believed in God. And I did not think they were right. It was not the case that I thought, you know, oh, here are smart people. They believe in God. They must be right. But in having conversations with them, you know, I was willing to be open to their views because I respected them and I thought they were smart. And in having those conversations, it made me see that you can be reasonable and believe in God. And I was not quite sure how that was possible, but I began to see that it is possible. And I would say that that was the first kind of shift in my worldview.
Now, one of the most common thresholds to faith that anyone converting from atheism to theism has to pass over is prayer. It's often extremely difficult to sit down and offer a prayer to a transcendent being, especially when you have great difficulty believing that one actually exists. So can you talk about maybe your first experiments or your first attempts at prayer?
Yes, I used to start my prayers with like, is this thing on jokes? Because I didn't know. I mean, how do you distinguish? There's got to be a fine line between talking to yourself and talking to God. And I didn't know how you initiate the talking to God process. So it was really a mess. And you'll see in the book that like, I was so confused by prayer. I think the tip that I would give people is, having grown up in the Bible Belt, I had these ideas about the divine that, you know, obviously God is a personal God, but sometimes, you know, the sort of societal caricature of Jesus is like, you know, he's like your pal and people have these elaborate conversations with him. And so I thought that when you pray, it's this like, you know, you're talking to someone and there's this immediate reaction. And I thought, you know, if God exists, I will say a prayer and things start happening like now, you know, like some thunder appears. And so when I didn't get a response, I was like, yeah, I was talking to myself. I knew it. But I had to understand that like with any relationship, there are different forms of communication. And when you pray, when you connect with God, it is not like, you know, he immediately like, you know, knocks at the door or, you know, there's some instantaneous response. And I had to understand that it's a whole new form of communication and it takes a while to get used to. And so I think my tip would be, don't give up. You know, if you say that prayer and you feel like, well, you know, nothing happened, you're entering into a whole new form of communication that takes quite a while to learn.
Now, what advice would you give a sincere, open-minded atheist who maybe wants to believe, who sees many great benefits in believing in God, but who just hasn't so far found the evidence compelling? What suggestions or recommendations would you give?
Well, I would say definitely keep that sense that you have that you need evidence for your beliefs. That's important because, you know, I think as we're all aware, you really can start to believe some crazy nonsense if you just decide like, oh, I felt this and therefore it must be true. Like, I mean, you'll end up in a cult by the end of the week. It'll be bad. So definitely keep that desire to find evidence, but don't confuse evidence with proof. You know, there are different types when you're trying to make a case for different things. There are different types of proof and evidence that you look for. What I mean by that is, if you want to find evidence of the atom, you know, is it correct, the theory that atoms are, you know, made of the nucleus and, you know, whatever. You can actually see that in an electron microscope. So you can find proof in a very direct way. But then let's say when you move to a court of law, you know, we can't get in a time machine and go back and be in the room to see if the guy pulled the trigger on the gun or not. So we use a whole different way of evaluating truth in those circumstances. So make sure that you're not approaching the search for God through a scientific search for proof, because you're not going to find God under a microscope, but there is compelling evidence for him if you're willing to look for it.
Excellent. Well, again, Jennifer, thanks so much for joining us. I encourage everybody to check out her new book, Something Other Than God, which is a really compelling memoir that I think both Catholics and atheists will really enjoy. Jennifer, where can people go online to find more of your writing and to pick up a copy of the book?
I'd love for people to come say hi at my blog, which is conversiondiary.com. And my book is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and pretty much anywhere books are sold.
Wonderful. And for more interviews like this, along with regular articles and great comment box discussion, please visit strangenotions.com. Thanks for tuning in.